Let's read together from the scriptures contained in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, I desire to read from verse 35 to the end.
Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, prva glava od 35. stiha.
Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, that is to say, being interpreted, Master, Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip had called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer. This past Sunday afternoon, we learned much of the John the Baptist and his role in God's plan and paving the way for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in our reading this evening, we've read of John the Baptist and the disciples as he sends them on to become followers of the Lamb, to become followers of Jesus Christ, to listen to his teaching, to observe him and his life. And I believe that's something that we all desire to have for ourselves, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be his follower. And so as this account describes for us the beginning of the walk for some of the disciples, there are several invitations that are made. John tells of his disciples, and he looks upon Jesus and says, Behold, the Lamb of God. He would be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. As the disciples invited one another, they spoke of the scriptures, how the law and Moses and the prophets were fulfilled in what Jesus, and that Jesus had come. And then we have a longer account of Nathanael. And this is a very personal invitation. Personal experience, and some details are shared. But the Lord wants us to know Jesus in all of these ways, as the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world, the one who would fulfill all of those sacrifices that the priests offered in the Old Testament, the one that would be the fulfillment of that foreshadowing when Adam and Eve were clothed with the skins of animals, or the ram that was caught in the thicket when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac and God himself provided the sacrifice. This is the Lamb of God who's come to take away our sins, to provide cleansing, to provide healing, and to shed his precious blood that each of us might be forgiven if we would believe, if we would entrust our souls into his faithful keeping, and if we would follow him as these disciples in life and in death, in faith, and as many who are witnesses of the faithfulness of God recorded in the scriptures, they're also testifying to us of following the Lamb of God, following Jesus Christ. And now they get to see him. Now they get to hear him. No more just read about him in prophecies, but yet to, as John explains in his epistle to the churches, that which we have heard from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Jesus has come, and he's come to be that Lamb of God. And even as the brother prayed, that we would know him as a personal Savior, that we would know that he came to do that which we could not in giving up his life to atone for our sins. John speaks these words to his disciples, and they follow. They desire that. They know that this is the plan of God. And they ask him, or Jesus turns and asks them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? Where's your house?" He shows them, and they stay with him. John doesn't elaborate much more, and not much is needed. It's a simple beginning. The word of salvation went forth, they responded, and they stayed with him. The others are not too different in that there was a simple explanation of Jesus Christ fulfilling the words of the Old Testament, which they had known. They found the Messiah, and they invited others to come to share in that joy. And even as John writes in his epistle, he shares these things that their joy might be full. They shared it with their family. They shared it with friends. And Jesus also goes to Philip, and he makes a personal invitation to him directly, saying, "Follow me." There were no miracles at this time. They did not need them. And anyone who is waiting for a miracle or something extraordinary to convince them and force them and compel them to take a step in faith, take courage in the word of the disciples and in their example, how they followed, not needing to see a miracle, and yet was their faith lacking? No. God provided everything that they needed. And God will provide all that we need. through his word, when we trust his word, this is what has the power and the strength to change our hearts, to cause us to dwell with him and abide with him. For we do need him. We need him as Savior. We need him to be our teacher. We need to see in him fulfilled all of the scriptures and love him. So Philip finds Nathanael and tells him that we've found him of whom Moses said in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael responds with a question. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's not really revealed to us whether he's doubting. But it's no secret that Nazareth wasn't the most acclaimed city, or there wasn't real high expectations of the people that came out of there. It wasn't the most educated. It wasn't what you would expect. And a lot of people stumbled when they saw Jesus and he wasn't what they expected. I don't know if that's what Nathanael was thinking, or if he was maybe thinking, I know the scriptures and the Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem. So maybe there's more to this story than Philip is telling me. And when Philip says, come and see, he's eager to go. And he's willing to find out more. Maybe he did have a hunger to learn and find out the truth. Not just to believe everything he heard, but to confirm and verify. Just like the Bereans, they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was teaching them was true. They were diligent. When Jesus sees him, Jesus says, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Nathanael's meeting someone who he's probably never seen before. He doesn't know. He's only heard a little bit about. And he's surprised that Jesus knows something about him. And he's wondering, how do you know so much about me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael's response is remarkable. He says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. What a bold claim to make about someone who seems to make such a simple statement, observation. But it was really meaningful for Nathanael. And we probably can't put ourselves into his shoes, but maybe we can. There are many examples in the scripture of individuals who were deeply impacted when they realized how much God knew about them. We have Nathanael. A little bit later, we have the woman who met him at the well in Samaria. Jesus knew her past and told her all the things that she had ever done. And she concluded, who can this be but the very Christ? Even the king, David, was in awe of all the things that God knew about him. That he knew about him before he was even born. When he was just being formed in the womb. That God knows his thoughts and our thoughts when we sit down and when we rise up. And he wondered at God, and he wrote these words down so that we would take notice and remember that God knows us inside and out. see another example in the New Testament when Paul talks to the Corinthians about prophecy. In Corinthians chapter 14, so he says in verse 24, if all the church come together and all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. It's the word of God that is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And the things that we thought were hidden are not. They're plainly seen by him. What was going on under that fig tree? What was going on in my heart and my life? When I came to church and I heard the minister speaking and it seemed like he knew exactly what was going on in my week. That's happened to probably to all of us. Where the word can speak to us and that we know that God heard our prayer. What did you pray for this week? Did you pray that God would show himself to you? Did you pray for healing, for forgiveness and help? Were you close to God? Was he near? Did you sense that he heard you? Jesus tells Philip, "I was there." He didn't know it. He didn't see it with his eyes. But whatever he knew, Jesus knew, and they had made a connection. And Nathanael couldn't help but confess, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." And out from his lips poured out the confession and the praise that Jesus is desiring from us. That we would exalt him as the Son of God, as the King of Israel, as the King of the world, as the King of our hearts, as the King of his nation, of which we desire to be a part as we are following in his teachings. And so it's a very personal introduction that Nathanael gets, that we are allowed to observe and take part in. And Jesus noticed that for this, Nathanael believed him, but also promised greater things than these. We begin in faith and simple faith, and yet that faith grows, even as Paul writes to the Romans, that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As we are growing and learning of Jesus Christ, we are learning to appreciate his righteousness, and we are learning to live by faith. And he says, "Greater things than these you will see." And he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What did Nathanael see? This prophecy, this promise that Jesus gives sounds very similar to what happened to Jacob when he had a dream, when he was introduced to the Lord. We read of it in Genesis chapter 28. Let's read a few verses from verse 10 in Genesis 28. So Jacob was on his way to Laban. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. It's interesting to note how the thoughts that are shared in this dream and in this Old Testament passage are so parallel to what was happening in the passage that we read from First John chapter 1. Jacob means supplanter, cunning. And Nathanael is an Israelite in whom is no guile, which is cunning and deceit. Jacob sees the angels and a ladder. Nathanael is promised, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. There's more clarity given to the picture. Nathanael didn't realize that Jesus was in his presence under the fig tree. Neither did Jacob realize that God was there. And Jacob confessed that this place where he saw this great wonder is the house of God and the gate of heaven. And the disciples are seeking from Jesus, where do you live? And he is showing to us he is the way to the Father. It's a beautiful example of something I heard recently about the scriptures and their how they fit together like a mosaic. Each of the individual stones of a mosaic are beautiful and they have their color and their purpose, but they all fit to make a bigger picture. So just like the story of Jacob, it's a beautiful story and a beautiful promises, but it fits in the bigger picture of what God is teaching us about Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of all of his promises in him. And so we get a clearer picture of what God is trying to communicate to us. When we see that Jesus Christ is the way unto the Father, that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that's what he wants for us to see. A clearer picture of him. A clearer picture of him where we get to know him. Where we can say, I say unto you, where Jesus would say, I say unto you, ye shall see. You will see Jesus Christ, even as the brother prayed, as your personal guide, as your personal Savior, and personal God. That we might increase in our faith in him, and that we would know him, that we would be connected by faith and love. That theme of love reminds me of the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How much Nathanael needed to learn and how incomplete his understanding was, and yet he was going to become a disciple. He was going to become a pupil of Jesus Christ, one who learned at his feet, and that is something that each of us desire. And we learn through the love that he has shown us on the cross. The charity that never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. As the Lord would reveal himself to us and invite us into his presence and would show to us how much he knows our thoughts, our hearts, and our needs, may we grow in that faith and that hope and that charity that he's calling us to, and that we would be able to have that answer of joy to declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the honor and glory of his Father. Amen.
These first disciples hear that we did not hear when we were called. What did they see that we did not see? What did they know that we did not know when we were called? They saw Jesus. We see him too. We open up this Bible, we see him. All they had was follow me and come and see. That's all they had. What do we have? What did we have? The disciples did not see his birth. They did not hear him preach at that time when they followed him. They did have faith. They believed and they followed. Matthew, he was working. Tax collector. Jesus says, follow me. What did he do? Followed him. My dear friends that are still outside of God's grace, you have a lot more than the disciples had when they were called. You have the whole scripture, the whole Bible. You have the knowledge. You know when he was born. You have seen and you read about his life, his mission. He's healing, raising the dead, suffering, how he died on the cross, resurrection, he resurrected. And he's sitting at the right hand of God and he's interceding for all of us. And you know all this. You have a lot more than just follow me
or come and see. I hope and pray that as we have, those of us that are in the house of God, those of us that have made a covenant with God, that made peace with God, that were baptized, I hope and pray that you too would answer his call. Once again, even this day, God is calling you. Jesus is saying, follow me. It will be well with you. You will be blessed. Come and see. Come and see where Jesus dwells. There's a reason why you are here tonight. Because you love Jesus. You love God. You want to serve him. All you have to do is answer and go down on your knees and pray to God and ask God to help you. He's extending his right hand unto you. He's reaching out to you. All you have to do is make the first step. You know, God, he's so gracious and loving and kind and merciful. And he sets our feet in the right direction. All of us. My feet, your feet. All you have to do is make the step. You have to walk. You're on the right way. You're on the right track. All you have to do is walk. Walk with God. Walk with Jesus. Don't walk alone. You start walking alone, you'll be lost. And that goes for all of us. We need to stay close to our Heavenly Father, close to our Savior and our Redeemer, who is here to help us, to be with us through trials, tribulations, good times, bad times, hard times. He's here to stay with us. May God bless his holy word within our heart. Amen.